Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Gospel Express radio broadcast. Spanish Wealth in the Bahama Islands. I am your host, Luton Neely, inviting you to stay tuned to today's broadcast, as the next 30 minutes could be the most spiritually rewarding of your entire life.
Looking now across. labor. And then I will take my heavenly flight. Eulaland, I'm longing for you. And someday I'll stand there, my home shall be eternal. Eulaland, sweet Eulaland.
Had a dream from her teenage years of the possibility of adopting a little Korean child. And this focused much more clearly in our minds when, after our first child was born, my wife had a couple of miscarriages. It didn't look as if she was going to have a child anytime soon. And so we decided to go ahead with the applications and working through an agency in Washington, D.C., that coordinates with an orphanage in Seoul, Korea. We were offered a child, 4 months of age. I think she was only 2 months of age at the time that we made the acceptance. And Anna came to us almost 3 years ago. She was 4 months of age when she came, and she certainly added a lot of joy and excitement to our lives. The dynamics of the thing were through a lot of paperwork and a lot of red tape, a lot of waiting and a lot of praying. Ultimately, it was a trip that I took to Korea that brought her home. Normally, they don't appreciate people going, but several things worked out together that I was able to make the trip to Korea. And looking back, I'm so glad I had the privilege of doing that, bring my own little daughter back when she was so young.
So you have a family that's made up of one Scotsman, one North Carolinian, one Scotsman North Carolinian, and one Korean. You really need to stir that up.
Well, I guess the easiest way to put it is we have two American passports, a British passport, and a Korean passport at this moment in time. Maybe one day we'll all get our naturalization and have four American passports, but we're a pretty cosmopolitan family right now.
They're very international. And we certainly appreciate you sharing that with us. We've talked about the church and young people, and we would just like to wind this up today by talking about special music. And, folks, you've noticed that during the past 3 weeks, we've shared with you several songs that have been sung by our preacher evangelist, who also sings, among some of his other talents, such as teaching Bible schools and teaching doing pastoral work and evangelism. He has sung, and I'm sure that the songs have blessed your heart. Today's music, Rod. A lot of people have a lot of problem with some of the modern, not so contemporary, but let's talk about the contemporary music, Christian music. What do you see as being the solution to the problem that most older people seem to have with the music of our the Christian music of our young people?
I don't think that there's any easy answer or any easy solution, Luton. I do recall learning that the great hymns of the faith, many of them written by the Wesleys and so on, were often put to the popular tunes of their day. Of course, they weren't rock music, and I think we need to be very, very careful. I personally believe that music is a tremendous medium to carry a message. But I also believe that the right kind of music can carry that message much more effectively than the wrong kind of music. I personally have an enjoyment of a wide variety of music, ranging from perhaps the much more traditional type of music to what we might call contemporary music. I'm not talking about rock music, but some of the contemporary music that we're hearing in the church today has truly blessed my soul. Much of it, we sometimes call it praise music, is based on the Psalms. Much of it is taken directly from Scripture, and I believe that this has been a tremendous blessing to Christians, perhaps in the last 10 or 15 years since this kind of music has come into vogue. I do believe that we do a disservice to our God to suggest that He can only be worshipped in one kind of music, and I think that both young and old need to adopt a certain kind of tolerance that will accommodate this wide spectrum of Christian music that is widely used and greatly blessed by God today.
That was evangelist Rod Sharp reminding us that music plays such a special part in getting the message of the gospel out, and to our young people today, music is so meaningful. I want to remind you that Rod Sharp will be bringing our message today. He's been our guest speaker for the past several weeks, and today his message will be entitled Rebellion. But right now, just before he speaks to us, I'm going to invite him to come and sing for us as he plays with his guitar, Lord, I'm Thankful.
Lord, for all the flowers, I thank the Lord for all the trees, but Lord, most of all, I'm thankful that Your grace included me. It's hard to see how You could love me, and Lord, Your love I cannot spurn. For a love as great as Yours, Lord, is something I could never earn. Though my faith is very small, Lord, there is one thing I am sure, that until my life is over, Your love will cause me to endure. I don't deserve all of Your blessings that You shower down on me. Lord, I love You and I'm thankful. Yours I'll always want to be. Sometimes I think where I might be now if I were not close by Your side. Lord, I'm thankful that You saved me. When I think of it, I cry. All that I am or ever will be.
That's a special message and song being brought to us by Rod Sharp. And we want to remind you that today is a special day, in that the Lord Jesus Christ comes and He wants to welcome each of us into His home. We pray today that many might receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you Come with me to the throne room of grace as we ask God's blessing on our service today. Lord, this is a specially convened program whereby many might be reached with the gospel. We pray today, Father, that through the song and through all that will be done here on the program, the interview, the special message on rebellion, Lord, be with your servant as he ministers in the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Want to be. Lord, I love you and I'm thankful. Yours I'll always want to be.
I read some interesting statistics recently concerning behavior in high schools in 1940 compared with high school behavior in 1980. And I was interested to note that among the top problems in the 1940s, there were included these: chewing gum, talking in the classroom, losing place in the line, improper dress, and not putting paper in the wastebasket. Those were the big problems in the 1940s. Listen to the 1980s. Drugs, alcohol, suicide, pregnancy, rape. We've come a long way, haven't we? The world is certainly not improving. And I believe that one of the great needs is to steer our young people back to the spiritual values which characterize earlier generations. We've been looking at some of the parables that Jesus taught, and today I thought it would be good for us to focus on our young people, and particularly by way of looking at that perhaps best known of all the parables, the parable of the prodigal son. One author entitled it the greatest short story that was ever told, and I'm inclined to agree with that, because in the parable of the prodigal son, we have a story of rebellion. Then we have a story of realization, and then we have a story of return. And how this rebellion characterizes our young people today, striving for independence, striving to find themselves. For as the Lord Jesus told this very intriguing tale of this younger son of a family who decided that he didn't want to stay at home anymore. He wanted to come have what was coming to him. He wanted what was due him, and he left his home, he left his family, he left his father to seek his fortune and to find pleasure and fulfillment in the far country. And so off he went. And how that describes many young people today who do not realize that in the home with their family is the best place they can be as they go through these turbulent years of adolescence. You may remember the story of the young lad who lived on one side of a valley, and every evening he used to look out across the valley, and he used to see what he called the house with the golden windows. And one day, when he got a little older, he decided that he would take a trip to see the house with the golden windows, and so he hiked down the valley, up the other side. And when he came to the house that he thought was the house in question, he looked and it didn't seem to have golden windows. And so he asked someone who was at the house, "Excuse me, I'm looking for the house with the golden windows." And the individual replied, "Oh, you're on the wrong side of the valley for that." Because as he looked back over, he saw his own house, and the evening sun was reflecting off his own windows, proving a simple point. That the grass is not always greener on the other side, and the golden windows are not always on the other side of the valley. The prodigal son went looking out for the golden windows, and it took him time, and it took him a lot of grief before he realized that it was back home, in his father's house, where life would really make sense for him. And so out he went to make his fortune. His father was wise enough to let him go. And it was there,
that he had to learn some hard, hard lessons. For the story of the prodigal son isn't only a story of rebellion, it's a story of realization. You know, certain things happened. Some disasters hit simultaneously. He ran out of money, and there was a famine in that far country. And the prodigal son discovered that his friends were all gone. He was reduced to poverty. In fact, he was reduced to having to take a very menial and undesirable position of feeding pigs in a pigsty. And it was there that he came to his senses. It was there he came to a realization of what a fool he had really been. He came to his senses because the Bible tells us that when he came to himself, he said, "Oh, what a fool I've been in my father's house, back home. Why, even the servants have bread enough and to spare, and here am I, perishing with hunger. I will arise, and I will go to my father. I'll go home." You know, this is a wonderful truth. It's the truth of repentance. Repentance literally means a changing around of our mind, so that we're thinking in a completely different direction. A change of mind which produces a change of direction. And so he came to his senses. He changed his mind, and he arose. He did something about it, and he went back to his father's house. So it's a story of realization. And I don't know where you are today, my friend. You may be the perfect illustration of the prodigal son. You may be out in the far country, having turned your back on what you were taught in your earlier years, having gone out into the world to seek its pleasures and to seek your fortune. You turned your back on your family. You turned your back on God. You turned your back on the values and the spiritual teaching of your earlier days. Isn't it time that you came to your senses? Tell me, have you found fulfillment? Have you found lasting joy out there in the far country? Isn't it time you came to your senses and turned around? Because you see, this story, this parable, is not only a story of rebellion and realization, it's a story of a return. For when this young man returned back home, he discovered that his father's heart of love had been reaching out to him from the very day that he left home. This is not so much the story of the prodigal son as it is the story, the parable of the waiting father. Somebody says, "Well now, can you preach the gospel from this particular parable?" And I say, "Oh yes, because I see the cross in this parable." Somebody says, "Where do you see the cross?" And I say, I see the cross in the heart of that father. The heart of that father reaching out to his son, who was lost, he said, but now is found. Who was dead, he said, but now is alive. And I want to remind you that there's a father reaching out to you, a father that cares that you've gone, a father who is wise enough to let you go, but a father who's never, ever stopped loving you. This father's heart is a heart of love. This father's heart is a heart of acceptance. Can you imagine the father stopping and saying, "Now listen, before I reinstate you as my son, I want to know where you've been. I want to know what you've done. I want to know who you've been with. I want to know how you spent all of that money." No. He received him. He accepted him. And without a word of censure, without a word of criticism or condemnation, he said, "Listen, you're my son. I don't want to make you a servant. You're my son, and I want to clothe you as my son. I want to embellish you with rings and jewelry. I want to put shoes on your feet, and I want to feed you with the best meal that you've had in years. We're going to kill the fatted calf." And the prodigal son came home and found acceptance and love and found restoration. Oh, my friend, isn't it time that you came home? Isn't it time that you were convinced that God the Father loves you? His heart of love is revealed to you in Calvary's cross. And if you would only come and accept him and trust him, you would find forgiveness and acceptance in the Father's house. The question is this: which is best, to put a fence at the top of a cliff or an ambulance at the bottom? You know, for some young people today, that fence at the top of the cliff could well be the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know many will tread down that fence, will jump over that fence, will turn their back on that fence. You will end up as spiritual and moral casualties at the bottom of the cliff. If that be the case, then the Lord Jesus Christ is still that ambulance to pick you up and to restore you and to nurse you back to spiritual health. But oh, if you were to trust him when you were young, he would be that fence at the top of the cliff, preventing you from getting into all kinds of disasters and all kind of ruin. Would you not trust him? Would you not receive him? God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Be like the prodigal son. Come home. Come to the Father and find his heart of love has ever been reaching out to you. Trust him today. Receive him as your Savior. And may God bless you.
Just before we conclude today's broadcast, let me talk to you for a few moments concerning your response to today's message. You have been confronted with the real issues of life, knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now you must make a choice. If you choose to receive Jesus Christ, you will have life eternal. If you choose to reject Jesus Christ, you choose death and darkness. I beg you to receive Jesus Christ. Invite him into your heart. Do it right now. You'll never regret it. Then would you write and share it with us? Our mailing address is the Gospel Express, Post Office Box 9, Spanish Wells, Bahamas. To our listeners in the Northern Bahamas, would you write to Post Office Box F2477, Freeport, Grand Bahama. And until next time, when we will be coming your way again with another unique broadcast, this is your host, Evangelist Luton Neely, speaking for the entire Gospel Express team, saying goodbye, and may his peace be yours.
I've never
goodbyes. Will there be spoken? For time wants a matter anymore. You'll alas, I'm longing for you, and someday on the island.